Jeremiah chapter 18. I think as you find your Bibles and find the text in Jeremiah 18, I just want to thank our camera crew and Howell and Nico and Rose and Sean back there and my dude over here in the back, Diedrich, amen, amen. We thank him. We thank all of them, social media, Sister Sabrina and all y'all people out there, and Miss Veronica who take pictures, all of y'all. We thank y'all so much for getting the word of God out to our people, amen. Because how many people know evangelism not also just knocking on doors? It's electronic now. So when you all see us post and repost, come on somebody, repost, amen, amen. Help. I know one lady who needs to start reposting. Miss McCory, you know how to do all them emojis and make all them pictures that I don't know how to do, amen. So y'all need to recruit her too. I know she's probably mad at me, so I'm gonna look at it this way when I'm calling her out. But she know how to do these emojis that look like herself, but they be other people. I'm like, God goodness, I don't know how to do none of that. Anyway, Jeremiah 18. In fact, she told me how to do it, and I still don't know how to do it. But that's why I got y'all. Amen. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 8 says, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'O house of Israel, can I do with you as this potter does?' declares the Lord. 'Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If it anytime I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. Lord, I ask for your power and your grace to move in the midst of my life and move in the midst of this sermon. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 We also thank Sister Kinsa for her tweets and everything. We just thank Briggs. Everybody, if I miss your name, thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. But this today, y'all gonna be happy even though I done babbled around. This sermon gonna be a little shorter than 8 o'clock because I kind of trimmed it down. But the lesson of the potter is a much needed lesson. One that every generation needs to learn. What is the message of the potter? It is that God has the sovereign right and power to save or condemn as he chooses. However, God does not use his sovereign right and power in an impulsive, unreasonable, or dictatorial way. God is not a tyrant who randomly chooses to save some people and condemn others. His sovereign right and power are governed both by his holy nature of love and mercy and by his holy nature of righteousness and justice. The Lord himself explains the lesson of the potter, a lesson that should significantly help the reader understand the sovereignty of God. God instructed Jeremiah to go to the potter's house. There, the Lord would give his prophet a very special message for the people of Judah. The Lord included Jeremiah's experience in his holy word because he intended that the message be shared with the nations and people of every generation. But let us delve into the creative process of the potter, because although we look at the surface, beneath the surface of the text exegetically screens so many hidden meanings. First of all, that the potter has to choose the clay. There is a criterion by which the clay is selected. Any potter would tell you that not any kind of clay is usable. It is the quality and density of the clay that determines the pliability for service. Some are too shallow to serve. Some have too much pride to serve. Some clay has too much attitude to serve. So God has to choose the humble clay in order to put his work in the midst of. Also, there is a separation. No molding can be done where there's no separation. You have to separate the clay you want to use from the rest of the bunch. While this is quite simple for the clay, sometimes it's quite painful for the believer, because God will separate us as clay and put us in a territory that's unfamiliar. Come on, somebody. We say that he lead us beside still waters and lead us into green pastures. Green pastures are green because nobody has been there. Green pastures are green because the cow and the bulls and the sheep have not grazed there. It's unfamiliar territory. So God will uproot you from your familiar and take you to an unfamiliar place. He'll tell you that you can't catch the midnight train to Georgia. I take you out of Georgia and plant you in Virginia where you don't know anybody, because when you're separated, I can use you better. How many people know that sometimes it's hard to work in a homegrown area because everything is so familiar? You know why? People ask me why the church grows and how we do what we do, because I know I only can depend on God. I don't know anybody. I don't have any relatives. I didn't have any friends here. God will take you out of your familiar territory to make sure he puts you in a place where you're uncomfortable, so you will lean on to his thoughts and not your own. There must be a sanctification for the clay. Only clay that has been cleansed of any hidden debris is eligible to be for transformation. If the process isn't concluded, when the process begins, the impurity will be revealed. God begins to pull the mess out of the clay that hinders your calling. Come on, somebody. I know it hurts sometimes, but God will pull the chaff out of you. God will pull some mess out of you. Now, we all fall short of the glory of God, so we'll never be perfect, but whatever hinders your calling, whatever will get in your way, God will get you by yourself and begin to take down some layers and scratch some mess out of your life and put you in a situation where it's uncomfortable, to make sure he can get the stuff out of your life so you can depend on him. Oh, I keep saying the same thing, but I need you to hear me. The cycling of the potter's wheel places the clay in a state of instability. It spins. It keeps you unstable, but the state of instability ultimately makes you stable. Notice the contradiction between the process and purpose. Spinning your way to stability. Sometimes we feel as though we're overwhelmed and spiraling out of control, but God is the author and finisher of your faith. God knows what he's doing on the potter's wheel. God knows what mess he allows you to walk into so he can get you to stop leaning on your thoughts and lean on his thoughts. He knows how to make you uncomfortable and unstable and put you in an environment that you can't hardly stand up in. He'll put you somewhere where you know you're not in control. You know, the problem with us is when we be in familiar places and we feel stable, we get the big head and we think we all that in a bag of chips, and God will put us in a situation where we feel like we're spiraling out of control, so we won't lean on our thoughts but his thoughts, and not our ways but his ways. We'll stop trying to depend on all of our intellect and begin to tap into the spirit. We'll begin to understand it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. God will put you in an uncomfortable environment and make you feel like you ain't got no control. Why? Because you don't. He's the one who's able to keep you from falling. He's the one that presents you faultless before his glorious majesty and does it with exceeding joy. You cannot do it yourself. I'm tired of people calling me and crying, I can't do it, I can't do it. I know you can't. Can't nobody do it but God. The problem is you keep trying to depend on yourself. You keep trying to do it in your own power. You keep trying to do it with your degree. Morehouse ain't taught you nothing. God ain't taught you. God sent you there so you can study to show yourself approved. Regent University ain't taught you nothing. God ain't already gifted you in. God said, I knew you before you was in your mother's womb. I already called you to be what I called you to be. God knows just where the gut punch you to get you to humble yourself down. See, every lick you got, one from the devil. Oh, yeah. Brother Brooks, he said that my staff and my rod shall comfort me. But you know, every now and then that rod ain't for you. You know, the shepherd has a hook on his staff. He uses it to jab the bears and the wolves away, but it's a hook on it to yank the sheep back into the fold. And every now and then you'll feel like you got a whiplash because God will yank your silly self back into the fold. And sometimes his rod don't feel good. Every pain you get is not from the devil. Sometimes God is pruning you. Sometimes God is getting the chafe out of you. Sometimes God is stripping some of your mess out of you, and it hurts. I wish every plant could talk like Groot on the movie Galaxy, whatever, Guardians of the Galaxy, because I'm sure if you cut his limbs, it hurt. When you prune a plant, I'm sure it hurt if it got feelings. Come on, somebody. It hurts when you cut the leaves off the tree. But the same way that the trees have to be pruned, your life has to be pruned. Sometimes God strips some people out of your life. Sometimes God strips some positions out of your life. Sometimes God allows you to get demoted, to humble yourself. Sometimes God strips you of your finances to make sure you're not supposed to depend on him, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Father, God will put you in an uncomfortable environment to make sure you know who really in charge. Oh, the cycling. But the thing about it is, clay cannot be shaped if it's dry. Oh, you have to be wet. See, I hope some of us took baths like we supposed to, or your neighbor ain't gonna like you. Hopefully you at least bathe every other day if you don't bathe every day. Hopefully you took a shower and put some soap and water on you, because you need to wet clay in order to be able to shape it and make it pliable. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You can't use a dry piece of clay to make anything. You gotta have it wet. But the ultimate potter, the big P potter, the great I am potter, doesn't use natural water. No, he uses the water found in Ephesians 5:26, where he said there has to be a washing by the word of God. Some of us are not pliable because we too dry, because we ain't wet our spirits enough to be shaped by God by the washing of the word. The Bible says that our steps are ordered by his word. But if you ain't read the word, how can he order you? It says man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Father. But you need to read your word. You know, some of us smell real good in the spirit, smell good with our cologne and our perfume on, smelling all good and flowery. The bees love us, trying to pollinate us and everything, because we smell so good. But some of us, even though we smell good in the natural, we stink in the spiritual, because we don't read our word enough. And we ain't took a bath spiritually. Some of us can't walk by faith because our spirit stinks, because we ain't washed in the word. See, God says, and I know I said it before, God says he gives each of us a measure of faith, which means each of us got the same measure. The challenge is, are you going to exercise your faith and magnify it? Come on, somebody. Everyone is given a measure of faith, a measure of faith. But the way you increase it is to get in your word and build a relationship with God. The word, Brother Calvin, says that the spirit, the word of God is the sword of the spirit. The word of God is the sword. The Bible is the sword of the spirit. But some of us ain't got no sword. We got a pocket knife. Because we didn't read enough word to magnify the spirit within ourselves. We didn't wash our spirit enough to magnify the word. We're all given the same measure of faith, but you got to exercise your faith. If I look at here. If you don't go to the weight room, you're going to stay the same size. Your muscles don't grow until you exercise them. The same way your faith doesn't grow unless you exercise it. God gave you a measure of faith, but the way you exercise your faith is to read the word of God and watch your spirit, so God can mold you and order your steps in his word. Amen. He can't order his steps in your word if you don't read the word. Because the Bible says he will bring it to your remembrance, to your spirit, when you need to bring it, when he needs to bring it. But if you ain't read nothing, you don't have nothing to remember. How can you remember something you ain't never read? If somebody ever came to you and be like, you remember this appointment? You know good and well you ain't tell me about this appointment. Yeah, I did. No, I did. Oh, yeah, you're right, I did. So how in the world am I going to remember? The same way, if you don't read your word, the Spirit can't bring to your remembrance what you have not read. And the more we read our word, the more pliable and more shapeable we are, the more teachable we are. Because you know what? You know what? The reason why you have water on the clay is to make it soft so you can shape it. If we read the word, our attitude will be softened so he can shape us. Our pride will be softened so he can shape us. Our self-will and our ambition will be softened so he can shape us. If you read the word of God, any debris that's in you is able to be pulled out by the Holy Spirit, because now you're pliable enough, you're wet enough, and you're full enough of the word for God to shape you and mold you how he wants to. Oh, we have to experience the potter's touch. No amount of cycling will reshape the clay without the skilled touch of the potter, who knows exactly how much pressure to apply to accomplish the shape he has in mind. Ah, God knows how to get you in line. He knows how much pressure to put on you. And the good thing about it is he knows where to press you at. He ain't going to press Sister Ross the same way he pressed Brother Isaac. No, he knows exactly what he wants. See, the problem is you think that God trying to make you like everybody else. You want to be Joel Osteen. You want to be T.D. Jakes. You want to be Joyce Myers. You want to be Martin Luther King. You want to be Pat Summerall. You want to be Michael Jackson. You want to be Madonna. You want to be somebody else. But the potter has uniquely made you and shaped you with his hands. Personally shapes you. Personally puts you together to make sure he has a personal relationship with you. He shapes you. Some of us are experiencing our anointing because we're trying to be somebody else. It says the anointing, the oil, or the power flow up out of you like rivers of living water, which means the anointing is already in you. It has to get out. It don't fall on you. I know we say, Lord, fall on me. The Lord is already in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. It comes up out of you. The songs sound good, but theologically, they really ain't together. The Spirit says, that the Word says, it flows up out of you. So when God is shaping you, sometimes he allows a crack to hit you every now and then, because he needs to break the alabaster box to get the anointing up out of you. If you're not broken, you can't be used. You have to be broken. And truth be told, when the potter is spinning you on the wheel, the only time the devil can ever touch you is when God allows the devil to slip through his fingers. See, you got to understand, Sister Ethel, that God only allows you to get hit when he allows you to get hit. The devil has to go to permission before he touches you. Remember Job and God, he said, have you noticed my servant Job? And he told the devil, you can touch his things, you can touch his family, but you can't touch him. Now you can touch him. God begins to give the devil parameters on how he can be touched. So what you need to understand is this. Well, if you're being touched right now, God is right there. He sees exactly what's going on. He gave the devil permission to touch you because he knew that you can be victorious. If God allows something to touch you, he knew you could handle it. Stop being jealous about your neighbor when they get blessed, because God will not let fruit grow on your vine before it's time. You'll be like a tree planted beside rivers of living water that yields fruit in its season. You got to hear me now. Wait on your season. Stop getting jealous because you see Miss Roxanne blessed. Stop getting jealous because you see Brother Woody blessed. Wait on your time, because God will bless you in your due season. Stop trying to get blessed too early. Stop trying to get... See, some of y'all didn't grow up in a time where you grew up in the time of digital cameras and you don't understand the development process. But see, back in the day, you had to take the film to a dark room and you couldn't expose it to the light too early, because if you expose it to the light too early, it'll mess up the camera. And some of them want to get into the light too early. You got to stay into the darkness. And when God gets ready to put you in the light, you won't get burned up. Oh, y'all don't hear me right now. Have you ever been in a studio? Ever in a studio and they got the lights on you? The lights are hot and they'll burn you up. And sometimes God keeps you in the dark room until you develop enough so you can withstand the power of the light. Stop trying to manufacture your own blessing. God will bless you in your due season. He is the potter who shapes you and makes you and wait on your season. He knows what he's doing as he shapes you. He knows what he's doing with you on the potter's wheel. He knows what he's doing. He's making you the way he wants to make you.
Nothing touches you unless God allows it to touch you. The potter's mind, no diagram is used to disclose the ultimate shape. The potter's touch is used to reveal what the potter had in mind. His diagram is in his mind. His material is on the wheel. The touch and the water are used to shape the clay into what the potter had in mind, not what you had in mind. Some women that meet a man and be like, he got potential. I'm going to make him like I want him. That ain't nothing but witchcraft. Trying to make somebody what you want them to be. Truth be told, he can't be whatever he want to be because he got to be what God want him to be. So if he can't be what he want to be and God is the potter, and how can the clay? And Paul said in one of his verses, how can the clay tell the potter what to do? And if the piece of clay you trying to make the way you see, you know what the problem is with pastors and leaders? Everybody want to try to make that piece of clay, the old clay that was there. And truth be told, people didn't even get along with the old clay. But now that they dead and gone, they want you to be that clay that they ain't like in the first place. You can't get into the potter's business. The potter shapes you and contours you how he wants you to be. You have no say-so in what you're supposed to do. You have no say-so in your life. You are a steward of God's money. You are a steward of God's resources. And truth be told, you were bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are a steward of your life. It ain't even your own life. You ain't nothing but a bag of dirt. You know what's amazing? Sister Hawkins, is that God spoke the stars into existence. And we don't even understand some of the galaxies. We know the Milky Way and Orion and all this. And we can see millions of miles away. He spoke it. He spoke the night and the darkness. He spoke the seas. He spoke light. And we still don't understand, is light particles in waves or waves in particles or one or the other. If I travel at the speed of light around the universe, when I come back, will you be old or dead and I'll be the same age? They try to feel like an artist. They don't understand God's power. He spoke the world into existence, and it's not so close to the sun that we burn up and not so far away that we freeze. We're standing sideways in America because the world is round. The centrifugal force goes at a speed that's not too fast that it throws it into the atmosphere and not too slow that we slide out. He spoke it. But he loved you so much. He didn't speak you into existence. Even stuff we can't explain. He stooped down and put his hand in the clay and shaped you and told Jeremiah, I knew you. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew what I was going to make. I knew what I was going to put on the potter's wheel. Some of y'all think that because you made one mistake, God don't want to use you. God is not a God that gives gifts and takes them away. God is a God that said, before you was in your mother's womb, I formed you. Before you was born 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 and 80 and how many years ago, before you was even born, he already knew your purpose. He knew where you was going to be this morning. He knew if you were going to be in church or out of church. He knew what sin you was going to commit. He already called you to be a preacher. He already called you to be a doctor. I don't care what go wrong in your life. You will be whatever God has spoken to your life. Stop thinking God throws you away because you made a mistake. He don't look at linear time and space. He's interested. Stella. He sees past, present, and future all at the same time. And even though he knew you was wretched and messed up, he called you anyhow. Crisis. Sister Calvin, I know you like Noel Jones, but he always said you have to have some tension in the text. Well, there's some tension in the text, Sister Claiborne, that the crisis, the potter has a problem. The problem is there's a marred trouble comes without blame. When Jeremiah arrived at the potter's house, he saw him working at the wheel, attempting to mold the clay into a jar, turning the bottom of the wheel with his feet. The potter worked the clay on the top of the wheel as it turned. All of a sudden, the potter noticed a defect, a flaw in the jar. It didn't turn out the way he was supposed to have it turned out. But, long as you love butt every now and then, even though you got a flaw in you, even though you messed up, even though you keep falling in sin, the master potter would tear you down and build you back up again. Don't get mad when God makes pain in your life. Do you know that you can't multiply fractions until you reduce it down to its least common denominator? You can't multiply 3 6 and 2 4 until you reduce them both down to 1/2. Then you can multiply. Some of us are feeling the pain, but God is reducing us down to our least common denominator so he can multiply our lives, until he tears down some pride and some attitude, until he tears down some self-righteousness. He can't multiply you. It hurts, but it has a purpose. Back to the crisis. The clay is in the right place. Brother Claiborne is in the right place. But there's no defect with the wheel. The right material. No complaint is made regarding the substance of the selection. You know what? Stop doubting yourself. And don't let people keep bringing you in. You know, you meet people and you ain't seen in a long time. They try to take you back to your worst days. You a lawyer now and they keep bringing up when you used to smoke weed and get drunk and you don't even do that no more. Hey, Brother Ozzy, remember you just sang in the club, bro? I know you sing at church now, but remember, we used to go down there. Remember, Brother Claiborne, you just start bar fights. Now you dithering now because you don't karate and you don't hit nobody unless you need to. Yeah. Remember. Max, remember you used to be at Jordan's under acting crazy. And they try to take you back to where you used to be because the devil keeps trying to make you feel bad for your past. But one thing about my God, he recycles this messed up piece of clay and he'll put me back on the market again. Oh, you better talk to somebody. Stop trying to make me get stuck in what I used to be. Stop trying to make me get stuck in my mistake. Leave me alone. I am what I am right now. And God made me fearfully and wonderfully. Stop letting people pull you back. Into your marred state. Oh, I'm so glad, Sister White, that God said that grace and mercy gonna follow me all the days of my life. Because I'm sure you notice, Sister Mary, I got a mental problem. I ain't got no sense. And if I had to follow grace and mercy, I might get lost. Because every now and then I might go down a dark alley. I go down in the life of sin and I get messed up. But I'm so glad wherever I go, no matter what hell I walk into, grace and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I know I'm messed up. I know I'm wretched. But my God would take this clay, tear it back down, and put it back together again. Oh, y'all better hear me. Humpty Dumpty, if you know Jesus, he'll put you back together. The clay is in the right hand. No apprentice came in and altered the process. It was in the potter's hand the entire time. No matter how messed up you are, you're always in his hands. You were in his hand even in your fornicating state. You was in hand in your homosexual state. You was in his hand in your lying state. You was in his hand in your victorious state. And anytime, you're always in his hands. Oh, don't worry about a scandal. Maybe God meant for the scandal to happen in your life to humble you. You in his hands. Don't worry about cancer. Maybe God allowed it to hit you so he could use your life to bring you a healing and bring glory to him. You in his hands. Why are you worried about what you're going through? You are in the merciful hands of the potter. Oh, the clay in Genesis, the clay, we'll just call him Adam. Like the clay man lays before God as helpless as an inanimate object, unable to control himself or alter himself, neither could he save himself. There is no power in the clay to have avoided his sinful nature. There is no power in the clay to rectify its condition. That's why we say that he's the one who's able to keep us from falling. You ain't nothing but a lump of clay. You ain't nothing but a bag of dirt. You go one day, we gonna say, I'm gonna say, or somebody gonna say it about me, earth to earth, acid to acid, and dust to dust. You ain't nothing but a bag of dirt. Of course the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. You ain't nothing but a bag of dirt, a bag of dust. You gonna fail sometimes, and the potter knows you ain't nothing but dirt. Amen. But you know what I like about the potter? He shapes us and forms us. But just like a true potter, he puts us in the kiln machine. See, the kiln machine makes the pottery hard to keep its shape. And see, what the devil tries to do, he tries to attack you while you're on the potter's wheel. But then God begins to, after he takes you off the potter's wheel, he puts you in the stove and lets you get hot. You know, every now and then you're going through some hell that was created by your creator, that was raided by the great I am. You know, sometimes you go through some trials and tribulations because God is using that trial and tribulation to build you up. You know what Jake's people told me yesterday? They said, your first 6 years, you weren't even there to grow the people. Hopefully some of y'all grew though. He said that you were there for them to grow you. You went through it. I ain't even telling my business because I don't want to tell the big folk my business like that, because you don't want them to, you want them to think everything is a crystal stair. You want them to think everything is all right. I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. No bumps, no bruises, no curves, no potholes in my life. I'm okay. Brother T.D. Jakes, everything is all right. No, but this person prophesied to me and said, you were there to be grown by them. It's a reason why letters went out about you. It's a reason why gossip went out on you. It's a reason why scandals tried to destroy you, because God needed to grow you up and get the shape out of your life and work in long suffering, peace, joy, meekness, and work the fruit of the Spirit in your life. What hell you going through from the cubicle next door? They there to grow you and make you better. If you don't go through some type of hell, see, if you don't have a Goliath, they'll never know you David. You need a Goliath in your life so they can prove, so God can prove through you why you really there. You know what? Truth be told, the only reason you get respect from the city is when they see you dealing with your internal battles and your city battles. Unless you win a battle, unless you kill something, unless you put Goliath to death, nobody following you. You can go to DeVry, you can go to Morehouse, you can go to Harvard, you can go to Virginia Union, you can go wherever you want to do. But if you ain't got school in the world and ain't nobody seen your education in the midst of some drama, you ain't going to be elevated by man. Man only elevates you when they see the power of God in your life, when you weather the storm. Oh! Some of y'all complaining about the process. You mad about what you got to overcome. But how can you fulfill scripture and be an overcomer if you don't have anything to overcome? How can you be more than a conqueror if you ain't got nothing to conquer? Every now and then you got to raise up holy hands and say, thank you, God, because I know you said you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. If I didn't have no enemies, I know I don't have the prerequisite to be blessed. So I just thank my enemies, buy them a car, take them out to eat, get them a lunch, or do something. Let your enemy know I appreciate you, because if it wasn't for you, baby, I wouldn't be able to drink this good wine and eat this great filet mignon in my life. I need some haters around me every now and then to strengthen me. See, what God is doing is getting your roots. When you're going through hell, God is not burying you. He's planting you and making your roots begin to take form and shape in the midst of the ground. And some of y'all getting mad with the process and mad because you're not getting blessed, but God is waiting for you to be able to weather the storm. So if he bless you, the wind won't take it away. That was a post I saw about a dog and an elephant. And the dog had got pregnant and had 10 puppies. And they got the elephant and the dog got pregnant at the same time. Then 3 or 4 months later, the dog got pregnant again, had some more puppies. And 3 months later again, had some more puppies. So then the dog went to the elephant and said, hey, sister, what's going on with you, sister girl? I done had all these puppies, and they done grown up, and they full grown dogs now, and you ain't had the one baby yet. What's going on in your life? And the elephant said, I ain't got no dogs in me. I ain't got no puppies. Yeah. What I got is an elephant. And when my elephant is born, the world feels my elephant. Oh, y'all done hear me say. And when my elephant is fully developed, when it walks, the world is shaking because it makes a difference. And people stand in awe and look at my elephant. It ain't going to look at your dog. But when I walk by, baby, you got to understand, stop getting mad with the process. If you have a great call, you have a great challenge, and it's going to take time. See, some of y'all women, You done got so used to this microwave generation, and you can't get a man because you're not let the chicken marinate and put it in the stove, and it's dried out, and you're trying to manufacture a blessing. I know you're getting mad. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to help you out. Go talk to your mama or your grandmama and learn how to cook so you're going to be by yourself all the time. But some of y'all want a microwave blessing, but you can't have an elephant blessing if you got a microwave dog dish. Y'all don't hear what I'm trying to talk to you. You got to go through the storm. The greater your crown, the greater your cross. The greater your victory, the greater your burden. Stop getting mad when you see your neighbor blessed. Maybe your call is bigger than they call, and God has to keep you in the womb longer to develop you. It's amazing. I'm so glad that I didn't get mad when people were passing before me, and I didn't get upset. Sometimes I would, but I'd clap for them and cheer for them. But some of them went to churches that only had 10 and 15 people. I came to a church that was already built. Why? Because God kept me in the process. He kept me in the oven longer. I'm so glad I didn't have a bishop that put me in place in a microwave dinner. I'm so glad they didn't tweet me out and put me in place. I'm so glad God put me in the crock pot and let me develop until I was fully grown so I could step. Oh! Some of y'all mad, but your blessing is big. Stop getting mad at God. He's developing you. He's getting your blessing together. You can't have a big crown if you don't have a big cross. Yeah, some of y'all want to get blessed. See, that's why I'm glad the old school and new school together. See, new school will teach you how to speed up and take the brakes off your walker. But old school people are taking how to sit still and marinate and let God move and develop you before you take a step. And when you get, see, y'all got to understand the problem with the church is, especially African-American church, because you're in the Willie Lynch syndrome. The old is against the young and the young is against the old. But when you bring it together, God does not move unless it's intergenerational. You need the old and the new generational. And you got to let them marinate together and get developed in season so God can bust the world wide open. I'm trying to talk to somebody. I ain't lose my place. I'm right here. The clay can avoid sin. The clay couldn't rectify its condition, but the choice here lies in the judicial decision of a sovereign God who has the power to destroy what he made. Ooh. Don't get it twisted. If God want to kill you today because of what you did last night, you'll be dead. Yeah. Yeah. The clay lies at the mercy of its potter as Adam lay trembling before his creator when he fell into sin during an act of disobedience. Perhaps the potter considered how much time and effort he had invested. Perhaps he considered the time frame needed to present the product to the client. Perhaps he considered the clay's condition was not beyond his ability to repair. Listen to the contradictory in verse number 4, chapter 18. Just in case you just joined us, chapter 4 in Jeremiah. Listen to the contradiction. Listen to it. Listen to it. Listen to the tension in the text. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. It was marred, so he had it yet another. He made another. He kept the same clay, yet made it new. And God asked the prophet, can I not do Israel the same way that the potter did the clay? God is saying, I can make you back over again. Aren't you glad you got a God of a second chance? In fact, some of us can testify that song ain't really theologically right, because we got a God of a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chance. Because if I had the God of only a second chance, I open up my eyes in hell right now, because it done took me way more than 3 strikes to do what God has asked me to do. In fact, I might be striking out right now. But I'm so glad I got a God that a tear this pit of clay down and build it back up again. I'm so glad, even though I'm marred, even though I'm messed up, even though I'm flawed, my God still uses me. See, God is in the clay recycling business. It said it should amaze you. See, it amazes me when people pay for InTouch. It amazes me when we sponsor all these children across the world. It amazes me how we go on mission trips. It amazes me how big singers like Pew and Cage come to our humble church because of the favor God has on this church. It amazes me. I begin to look and walk in awe. Everybody, some churches bigger than us, don't get the same folk we get. Favor ain't fair, but I'm so glad it's fair to me. Only people getting mad about favor not being fair is folk that ain't got no favor. I'm sorry, sister girl. I'm sorry, brother man. But if you just hold on my coattail and stop hating on me, you can have some favor too. Oh, you got a God that's in the recycling business. He'll take the same piece of clay and make it over again. He'll do you, how Brother Tyrone Jackson said, he'll do you like Fred Sanford. He'll take the piece of junk and fix it up and clean it up and put it back on the market again. Come on, somebody. I need, if I can talk to some Sanford and some blessed folk out here who know you done been through some mess, who know you done walked through some manure, who know your life is wretched and messed up, yet God still favors you and still blesses you in the midst of your mess. See, now don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Brother Isaac and Deacon Ross, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying we can live any old way because Paul said, should we continue in sin? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Surely not. So we need to try to live right, but when we do fall, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, we need to understand that we have a God of a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chance. Come on, somebody. We have a God that even though we messed up, he still said, even though I know you messed up, before you was in your mother's womb, I already called you to be what I called you to be. And I don't care what nobody else call you, if they don't call you, whatever. Remember what God said to Adam? Adam said, that girl you gave me that made me eat this apple. And I knew I was naked. God said, who told you was naked? Who told you was an alcoholic? Who told you was a whoremonger? Who told you was a homosexual? Who told you was a lesbian? Who told you was a has-been? Who told you was crazy? Whatever God called you, if they don't call you that, tell them don't call you at all. God calls you what he made you to be. God calls you your purpose. He don't call you your setback. He don't call you your failures. He don't call you your sicknesses. He don't call you your disease. He calls you what he purposed you to be, and you better start calling yourself that and only associate with people that call you that. Don't you hang around folk that call you your failures.
My Lord, my Lord.
The tension. He made it again. See, that's why you got to understand that the potter's victory of salvation, it's the potter's victory of salvation, not yours. It's God's victory. You didn't save yourself. God pulled you out of darkness to the marvelous light. God drew you out of that man's bed. God drew you out of your alcoholism. God drew you out of your lying. God drew you out of your gossip. God drew you out of your mess. I know you thought you saved yourself and one day you came to yourself just like the prodigal son in the pig pen, but let me tell you something right now. It was the Holy Ghost that tapped you on your shoulder, because David said, even if I make my bed in hell, my God is right there. His rod and his staff shall comfort me. God took that shepherd's hook and pulled yourself out of the darkness into the marvelous life. God is the one who drew you, not yourself. That's why I got a problem with church folk that judge folk with short skirts, that judge folk with their pants hanging down. I'm not saying it's right, but what I am telling you is meet them in love. Tell them they need to pull their pants up. Tell them they need some more material on their dress, but tell them in love. Psalm 98:1, and I get ready to close. Says, sing unto the Lord a new song. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. Not you. Who? Sing unto the Lord, not yourself. Sing to the Lord, not yourself, not your boo. Not your man, not your husband, not your future wife. Sing unto the Lord, because if you ain't singing to him, here, close your voice up. But let me talk to you. He's the one who got you the victory. See, he could have destroyed what he created. He could have chosen new material. He could have left it in his marred state. That's why I praise him today, because he could have denied us. He could have destroyed us. He could have allowed my wretched condition to harden my destruction. He could have chosen somebody else. But we serve a God who didn't give up. He didn't give up on me. When people said I was beyond repair, he picked me up, turned me around, put my feet on solid ground. He didn't give up on me when I thought myself beyond reconstruction. He didn't give up on me when I sinned in his hand, lied in his hand, cheated in his hand, whatever I did wrong in his hand. He stuck with me. The clay was, and whatever it was not, it was always in the potter's hand. Y'all don't hear me. See, look, it was in his hand when he found it, the clay. It was in his hand when he raised it. It was in his hand when he watered it. It was in his hand when it fell, and it was in his hand when he fixed it. You were in God's hand the entire time, even though you was messed up and wretched. Even when you fell into sin, you was in his hand the whole time. You was in his hand when you won. You was in his hand when he lost. You was in his hand when you got healed. You was in his hand when you weren't. You was in his hand when you were sick. You was in his hand when you were delivered. You was in his hand when you got a job. You was in his hand when you got fired. You was in his hand the whole time. You was in his hand when you got promoted. You was in his hand when you got demoted. It is your God. He's the author and finisher of your faith. Yeah, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Father. Oh, even in your mess, you are always in his hands. David said it this way in Psalms 23 and 4. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, his rod I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. Even in your sinful situation, in your sinful nature that seems able to not change, Paul said it this way. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm made strong. Oh, I have a God that loves me even in my marred state, even in my messed up state, even when nobody loves me. Paul said it this way in Romans 8, 38 and 39. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You know why I don't worry about a scandal, and you shouldn't either? You know why I don't worry about people lying on me, and you shouldn't either? You know I don't worry about gossip, and you shouldn't either? Because we all in the merciful hands of the potter. You in his hands when you do right. You in his hands when you do wrong. Your steps are ordered of God. You're in his hands. He's shaping you. He's molding you. He's spinning you. He's the potter. He shaped you. And when you messed up, he tore you down and built you back up again. It hurts when he broke you down, but he built you back up. Aren't you glad he didn't grab another clump of clay and choose somebody else even when you messed up? Aren't you so glad he didn't throw that lump of clay, which is yourself, to the side, but he reshaped you and remolded you, remade you again? Remember that song that used to say, don't make me over. Now that you know that I adore you, don't make me over, because you know I'll do anything for you. But I'm here to tell God right now, God, if you got to make me over, make me over. I need you to take this lump of clay, tear it down, and build it back up again. If you are God of a second chance and you got to make me new again, well, God, I need you to make me over right now. Make me over because you love me. Make me over because you want to use me. Make me over because I'm messed up and I'm wretched. Make me over. Make me over. Don't leave me in my marred state. Make me over. Don't let me fall into sin. Make me over. Don't use me in my wretched state. Make me over. Take the chafe out of my life. Make me over. Take me out of my life of sin. Make me over. Give me my healing. Make me over. Bless me going in. Bless me coming out. Make me the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. The lender and not the bar. Make me over. Give me a good measure, blessing. Press down. Shake it together and run it over. Hey, make me over. Make me over. You are the potter and I am the clay. Make me over. Aren't you glad he'll make you over? Aren't you glad he won't grab another piece of clay? Aren't you glad that the servant God of a second, of a third, of a fourth, and fifth chance? Aren't you glad that even though you're marred, messed up, he'll take that same clay and use your life? He'll recycle you. He'll take you out the junkyard, just like Fred Sanford. Clean you up, fix you up, and put that same wretched piece of clay back in the kingdom again. I'm so glad that my God loves me enough to make me over. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't get discouraged. Don't get dismayed. David said it like this. I was young, but now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Hey, ow, no weapon. God didn't say the weapon wouldn't be formed, but he did say that no weapon, no weapon, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He who began a good work in you shall finish it. Even when you fall, even when you mess up, even when you're falling in sin, he is the author and finisher of my faith. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Say yeah. Hey! He is my potter. He shapes me. He makes me. In fact, he walks with me. And he talks with me. And even when you don't claim me, he still calls me his own. Don't cry. Don't fret. Don't get discouraged. You know why? Because you're in the merciful hands of the potter. You in his hand when you do right. You in his hand when you do wrong. You in his hand when you lose. You in his hands when you win. You in his hand when you're sick. You in his hands when you're healed. It don't matter what state you're in, you're always in the potter's hand. Ooh, I'm so glad that the master potter won't throw me away when I mess up. Chirp. Church might put me out. Church conference may put me out. Deacons may put me out. Trustees may put me out. Principal may fire me. CEO may demote me. The world may take me away. The police may shoot me. But I'm so glad that even when you don't claim me, and when the enemy comes at me like a flood, my God sits closer than any brother. And even if my mother and father forsake me, he will be right there. Shake me. Mold me. I might have to preach to make me over again. I might have to preach that. Preachers, don't steal my sermon. The potter. You in his hands when your solo go good. You in his hand when your solo don't go good. Even if I talk about you, he still got you. Because I will. But I ain't the potter. So don't pay me no mind. God uses the foolishness of man to confine the wise, to make sure that you know it ain't your power, to make sure you know it's God and not you. The reason why God allows you to go through some stuff is so when people see how messed up you are and God brings you into your deliverance state, and they come to see your death and your burial, and they may see your death and your burial, but if they stay long enough, they'll see your resurrection. Huh? And if they leave before they see it, they'll hear about it. They heard about Lazarus when he got raised on the fourth day because they knew he was dead. Because in 3 days, they thought you hovered around, the spirit was there. But when he was dead 4 days, they knew he was dead. Some of you all are in a state where you've been dead 4 days, figuratively speaking, a long time. 4 days you've been dead, and people thought you was buried. But they didn't realize God didn't bury you. He planted you. He planted you. Because he's shaping you and molding you into the man and woman you're supposed to be.